So I don't know, do you make resolutions? Do y'all make resolutions? No? Yes? Some? You know, a lot of people do, and I want to go through the top resolutions with you. These are what people, the top, and you can probably imagine most of these, but the top resolutions people make for the new year. First two is health. Number one's mental health. Practice mindfulness, journaling, or therapy to reduce stress or boost emotional well-being. So mental health. The second one is physical health, physical fitness. You know, commit to a consistent workout. You get into a routine, you know, whether you're at a gym or you're doing just exercises at home or activities outdoors. Then we get into eat more whole foods. You know, we get into the diet part. Focus on nutrient-rich meals, cut back on processed food and sugars and everything good. Don't eat those things. Declutter and simplify. You know, organize your home, get your files all in order. Try to schedule a calmer life. You know, declutter and simplify. Number five is your finances. Build financial stability. You know, create a budget. You know, I'm going to save more money this year. If you invest, I'm going to invest smarter this year. But your financial stability. Number six is learn a new skill. So maybe that's to pick up a language. If you want to learn Spanish or Chinese or something, you learn those. Maybe pick up an instrument to play. If it's a piano, let Chris know. She's needing a backup. So if we need a piano player, we could use a backup. Or some other hobby that you just want to try. Number seven is travel with purpose. Plan trips that offer cultural experiences or personal growth. Personally, I just like to be entertained. And I'm not looking for a lot of cultural growth or culture. I just want to see cool stuff. We spend the day at the beach in the sand and just listen and stuff. But anyways, travel purposes. Number eight, we're getting a little better. Strengthen relationships. Spend more quality times with loved ones. And then it says nurture meaningful connections. Right? Could be different things right there, you know. But at least there's one. Spend more time with loved ones. And we say that how often. Number nine, reduce screen time. Set boundaries for social media and focus on offline activities. And number 10 is give back. You know, volunteer, mentor, or support causes you care about. Those are all good things. You know, people always think they're going to change things in the new year. It's time for a new beginning. We look at it as a starting over, a time to improve and change in several areas of our life that we want to get better at. And, you know, we decide to make these statements, these resolutions, and actually perhaps even promise ourselves, I'm going to do it this time. And we make these resolutions and how we're going to act differently and change the way we live and change our thinking and our behavior for the better. You know, a boy told his dad too, he said, Dad, if three frogs are sitting on a limb that hung over a pool and one frog decided to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left? His dad said, well, two. He said, no. He said, there were three frogs, and one decides to jump. How many are left? The dad said, oh, I get it. If one decides, the others are going to follow suit. They all jump, so there's none left. And he said, no, the answer is three. He said, the frog only decided to jump. You know, does that sound a lot of like resolutions? You know, we decide these things. You know, great inspiration, great resolutions is going to help them, but oftentimes we only decide. We never, you know, months later, we're still on the limb, still deciding what we're going to do. We never make that leap. You know, we decide on an action plan, and then we don't take action. Based on those 10 things, you know, we still stress. We still worry. We go to the exercise place for a couple of weeks, and then we find excuses not to go. You know, we maybe got that treadmill at home or that bike, you know, you're driving a couple weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, eventually it becomes the laundry hanger again. You just hang your clothes up on the bars. So we eat, but the healthy part fades away. We get back into our old habits. We let the busyness of life wipe out travel plans and the learning the new hobbies and the giving back by volunteering or strengthen our relationships. We just don't have time. We just don't have the time. Reduce screen time. We always have time for that. We always have time to be on the phone. If you don't think so, look around wherever you go. There's always time to be on the phone. So all these new plans, and either nothing changes, or if it does, it's a limited lifespan that we do it with. We just keep reverting to the past, doing what we've always done. How many times have you heard that at work or someplace? What do you do? Well, it's just the way we've always done it. We get into that pattern in our life. Well, that's just what I do. That's the way I've always done it. You know, we keep the same problems. We keep the same hurts, the same disappointments. We keep the same mindset we had in the past. And with that, our present gets caught into the past and stuck in the past. You know, we've got the desire and we may make the decision to move forward with better things, but we fail to actually make the move. We've got to do something. It can't just be thoughts and decisions. There's got to be actions made. You know, I know a lot of people, we talked earlier, a lot of people are tired, and people are just, maybe this time, you know, you actually think, oh, Christmas is over. I'm so glad that I enjoyed it a lot, happy, good times, but I'm glad it's over. You know, it's a new year. You know, we can go back to all the normal things now that we used to do. You know, I hope not. I hope not. God has more than that for us. God has a future for us, and it isn't based on our past, what we've done. It's based on our present with Him. You know, it's based on our future with Him. He's got a purpose for all of it. And if we just stay in the decision mode instead of the action mode, we're never going to get past that. I want to read Isaiah 43 this morning. It's verses 16 to 21. Isaiah 43, 16 to 21. It says, this is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. You know, on that resolution list, there were 10 items. Did you sense anything or hear anything missing in that resolution list? You know, there's a lot of good things. Resolutions about a lot of things, but there's nothing in the resolutions about spiritual changes. You know, it's all about mostly me, myself, and I. You know, my diet, my mindset, my exercise to make me better. You know, even the ones that were good, you know, you talk about meaningful connections, you know, but why are they meaningful? Is it what you can get out of them for yourself? You know, even the give back, causes you care about. Again, it's what cause I care about them. You know, it's not what God cares about maybe, but I care about them, you know. You know, it's all about yourself. And you need to have some spiritual resolution there. You know, spiritual growth and faith should be at the top of the list. You know, it shouldn't be that hard to do, especially if, you know, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know, already have that connection. And if you remember what he's done for you, which we spent this last month remembering Jesus' birth, if you remember what he's did for you, salvation, yeah, salvation's an awful big one, but that's not the only thing. It's also him working in your life after salvation. It's the God incidences that have happened and are happening in your life. You know, it's how he's cared for you, how he's provided for you, how he's protected you, and how he wants to do more and more with you. You know, you're not separate in him. You're not, it's not what he does and what you do. It's with each other. You work together. He wants to use you in his plan, and he's there with you. But he wants, you know, we need to remember what he's done and can do. But, you know, the passage says, you know, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Those things that keep you in the past. You know, the things that have a hold on you. And you either can't or more than likely won't let go of them. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, we learn from the past. You know, that's in our experiences teach us. So we learn from the past, but we aren't to let it control us. To hold such a grip that it holds us under its spell. You know, we have to move on. We have to get better. God has bigger plans for us. Not to let us hold ourselves back. And he's doing new things all the time. And it's happening now. And many times, as it said, you know, we're not in a spiritual state to see it. Our heart's not right with God. Our heart's not totally into God. And things are happening. We miss them. We don't see him, the new things that he's doing. You know, it says he's making a way in what we may see as a wilderness. You know, I say, God, I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to go down that path again. There's nothing there. It's a wilderness. God says, I'm making the way. It's not wilderness. I've got a path for you to follow. It's where I want you to go. It says he's making a stream in what we may see as a wasteland. That literally, there's nothing there. I've gone that way before, maybe. I've been there. I've tried that. It's a wasteland. There's nothing there for me. He says, I'm making a stream. You know, he's making a new way for you to live. There's a path for you to follow. If you decide, then actually act on it, I don't think you can imagine the blessings you're going to receive. How close you're going to get to God. You know, he's going to provide everything needed for his chosen people. He says that, my chosen people, which that's you. You are chosen people. He's going to provide everything you need to go through that wasteland. He's making the way where it seems hard, that wasteland you're going through, that wilderness you're going through, and maybe you've been in. He's going to make a way for you to go through that. He says he's going to provide what you need, and it's also you can praise his name. You know, it's not about you and your well-being. It's to praise his name so he can show his power through you and the things you do and how you live. We'll go to John 15, verses 5 through 8. John 15, 5 through 8. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. You know, believers are to bear fruit. Believers are to be doers. You know, it says be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. You know, hearing's a decision. Doers is an action. We gotta do what we hear. You know, James tells you, you know, show me your faith without action. You know, faith produces good works. Good works don't get you there, but faith and trust in God, acceptance of Him, gives that desire for you to do good works for God. And that's who they're for. Good works prior to that's probably for yourself, just to make you feel good. But faith, trust in God, His presence produces good works in you. We're to be produce fruit. You know, and it takes being in Christ to do that. You can't do it without Him. You know, if you have a resolution this year, or if you decide to make one, make it be a spiritual resolution. You know, resolve to be more like Christ. That's what He calls us to do. Be more like Him. You know, resolve to do things. You know, resolve to be at church. Resolve to be at one of the Bible studies. You know, start. You know, there's all kinds of Bible reading plans out there. Start a Bible reading plan. Lots of them are 90 days, but they have a lot of one-year plans. You know, start one of them. Make the decision, but then stick with it. Just read it every day. The more you do, it'll become a habit. It'll become part of your routine. So make a resolution to read. You know, make a resolution to pray every day. Add them to your routines. Do something for God. You know, do an activity. You know, do something for Him. You know, maybe that's being nominated for a position here. Maybe that's putting your name. I would like to do this here. If you want to do something here, we'll find something for you to do. That's not a problem. We have a lot of people that do a lot of things here, and I appreciate that, but do something for Him. You know, Annie goes downtown one day a month, third Friday of every month. Go with her. See the people down there. But do something that He's calling you to do. Because He's calling you to specifically to do that. Because you're unique to Him. He's got a special purpose for you. So do what He's calling you to do. Maybe not what everybody else thinks you should be doing. Call what God's doing. Do what God's asking you to do. You know, physical exercise pushes our body to get better, to get stronger. That's why we do those things. Well, when we exercise our faith, we build up our relationship with God and those around us. And we get spiritually stronger. It's the same exercise. You know, sometimes Christians, and they don't go the extra. They get a little, I won't say selfish, but they kind of see themselves. You know, the goal of a Christian is to get saved. And we definitely want everybody saved. We want everybody to know Jesus Christ. So they get saved. They want their sins to be forgiven. We all want that. They want to go to heaven. We all want that. That's part of salvation, to get those things done. But a lot of people don't see beyond that. They get stuck right there. That, you know. But accepting Christ is not just about having sins forgiven. It's not just about salvation. It's about being transformed into a different person. You become a new person. This reborn makes a new person from you. And you're truly changed. You're not the same person. And in turn, God uses you to change the world. You know, we're to be in the world, but not of it. But being in the world, we have a job to do. We have a purpose. You know, it says the culture, we influence it. You know, our spiritual influence is all around us. It's with those who we're with. But it's not just influenced. It begins to change those around us as, you know, we're in there. We're doing things. We're doing what God asks us to do. So, just do what God asks you to do. And He's asking you to do something. I don't know what it is, but He's asking you to do. He's got a special purpose for you. And you're going to influence somebody. You know, Billy Graham always said, you know, I've led, you know, thousands, millions, however, to the Lord, but there's always one that It's going to take you. There's one, at least one, that needs you. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. I want to finish with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, just verses 1 through 4. It says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So just don't let the past determine your present or your future. Satan will try hard enough to do that. If you've been saved, he's going to try to talk you out of it. He's going to try to use your past. Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. God doesn't. God doesn't. If it's other things in your life that's happened, you know, don't let that hold you in the place you can't get out of. That keeps, just as a prisoner of that. Don't hold that. I think God's will is that you're better than that. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you someone to help you through that. You know, a child of God listens to the Father. Listens to what he says. But God has a purpose for your life. I ask you to seek it out. Consider your choices then. You know, does my choice please God? Does it increase my relationship with him? Does it make me more like him? Or does it hinder my relationship? Does it block my relationship? Does my relationship regress? Does it get lesser and lesser with him and those around me with those choices? So resolve to get your heart on things above. Set your minds on things above. And I think your mind's going to follow your heart if your heart's right with God. Spend time with God. Take on the image of God. Do good works for God. And show the world who you are in Christ. Be not just a hearer, but a doer. If you have a resolution, please let it be that. Let's pray.